Welcome to a brand new episode of the Chiefs Wire podcast. I'm Ed Easton Jr. On today's episode, Chiefs Wire managing editor John Dillon and I share our thoughts on the upcoming AFC Championship game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens as Kansas City seeks another trip to the Super Bowl. But first, as always, we start off with some of the best sound from the Chiefs' victory over the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round.
Yeah, well, listen, he's had so many big plays for us over time, and on that play, you know. But you can't reach out. He was trying, so you give him the effort, but we know that you can't do that down there because of that reason. And so you got to protect that football, and he'll get better for that.
Hey, what happened in the second half with your run defense? Because they seem to run a lot more effectively in the first half.
Yeah. So I thought the guys. This sounds ridiculous, but the technique. Joe was emphasizing using the hands, separating, and making sure they could see things. They were getting tied up in these physical matches with these guys, as opposed to separating and then using their speed, take care of business, and at the same time controlling their gap. And then I thought our linebackers, whether it's Bolden or whether it's Drew, made some big plays. Chanel made some big plays. Our safeties, you saw Reed step up and had some nice hits there. Yeah, well, we missed a couple, there. So we had a couple that Pat wanted back. He was so mad on corner routes, but he came back and fixed that and did some nice things. And we've got to make sure we score. We got to make sure we're putting them in the right positions. I thought, we could have been better. I told you that I went back and looked at all that, and as did the coaches. And we just got to, we got to make sure we're putting them in the right position and guys making plays. And I thought our guys made plays down there. Yeah, did a nice job.
Was it just another cleaning up the execution?
Yeah, that and the plays that I was dialing up at that time. We've got good plays. It's just how where you dial them up at.
Can you talk about Travis Kelce a little bit? Two touchdowns today, but if you go back, I don't know, eight games or whatever, and had not had the scoring production anyway that we've seen before, what was their plan today?
Yeah, and they had a plan for him. I mean, they were bringing in 33 there for a couple series and having him play a man and then put a guy over the top. And I thought Kels just did a nice job. I think that time off that he had there before our last game and into that last game helped him. He benefited from that. He was banged up a little bit, and he was able to kind of get over that and get himself back.
I knew it was going to be important because how good Josh is and how good their offense is, that we were going to have to turn some of these field goals into touchdowns. Whenever we did have field goals, Harrison knocked them through. I mean, those were some tough field goals into the wind. And then we were able to execute and score touchdowns. Obviously, I missed both the corner routes, one to Travis and one to MBS. But other than that, I thought we did a great job of executing in the red zone.
How about MBS's game?
Yeah, I mean, they played a lot of man coverage. And when you play man coverage in playoff football and they put that much attention on Travis and they had a little attention on Rasheed as well, other guys got to make plays. And we've seen MBS in playoff games make a lot of big plays happen. And no matter what's happened all year long, he's kept the mindset and the mentality that he's going to keep working and working for moments like this. And he did a great job, made some big-time catches, and had a big game.
What did you tell Josh after the game?
Yeah, man, I said heck of a year, man. I've been on the other side of that. It's tough. You put in so much effort and work every single game to play in these playoff games, and he played his tail off and gave them a chance to win the game. We were just able to come out with the win in the end. But that's two great football teams, two great offenses, defenses, everything going at it, and we were able to come out on top this week.
Patrick, this was the first one on the road in the playoffs. Some people were wondering how you guys were going to handle that. How did that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys took it as a challenge. I'll say that we played in the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. We lost that one. I didn't like to bring that one up, but I mean, it's we've played basically road playoff games before. We just come in with the same mindset. If we're going to come together, put our best foot forward, and see if we can come out with a win, and that takes the mentality throughout the week. It takes every single play executing, and we did a great job of that today, and we're able to score enough to win.
Why did you guys been so efficient on the road?
I think it's that. Guys come together. I mean, I love being an Arrowhead. I love being an Arrowhead and playing in front of that crowd. But when you're on the road, it's you versus them. It's you versus everybody in the stadium. And you have to come together as a team, and the guys do that. And you saw that in the game today. I think that spoke well. Through three quarters offensively, we were moving the ball up and down the field, but we got shut down in the fourth quarter. And I went over to the defense, and I told them, I said, y'all shut it down, and we'll win this football game. We'll go to the AFC Championship game. And they did, going into that fourth quarter, and I told them next time I'll try to tell them earlier. If I can tell them like halftime to do that, and they're going to just shut them out from there. No, but it was a team win, and that's what you need in playoffs.
Hey, Patrick, you ever have a sense during the games that what epic games these kind of games are? Do you ever take even a second to appreciate that?
I do, honestly. Every time I go up against Josh, I know that it's going to come down to the end, just because of the competitor that he is and the player that he is. Same when I go up against Joe, when I go up against Lamar, all these guys. And I know how much fire they have, and they're not going to give up to the very end. And you appreciate that stuff. I mean, these are the games I watched growing up. The great quarterbacks going up against each other with great football teams, great organizations. And that's what I remember. So hopefully I'm making, like I said earlier in the week, hopefully we're making those memories for other little kids that are growing up watching football.
Jared. Hey, Patrick, you and Travis combined for a record, passing Brady and Gronk. How special was that? What was the plan, I guess, for Travis in this game?
Yeah, no, we always emphasize getting the ball to Travis, but passing anything that has Brady and Gronk in it is special, because those are two of the greatest players. I mean, Tom is the greatest player and one of the greatest tight ends of all time, and so those are great and postseason players. And so to be mentioning that and passing that, you appreciate that. It speaks to Travis and his work, being able to go out there and make plays in big games. But we always emphasize getting Travis the ball. He did a great job of getting himself open, and then once they started putting a lot of attention on him, other guys like MVS made plays. And so that's what it takes. It takes everybody. Everybody's got to make plays in order to win playoff games.
Patrick, I know you love Arrowhead, but were you excited for the challenge to play away?
I was very excited. Honestly, it wasn't even like a negative thing. It was going to be a great environment. Being in here in Buffalo, I'd heard about it. Obviously, I played here, but not with the fans. I knew the fans were going to be rowdy. It's going to be hostile. But you appreciate the greatness of organizations and going in week in and week out and packing the stadium and being fans. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so I obviously love playing at Arrowhead, but it is cool to go on the road in a playoff game and be able to come out to win.
I just wanted to ask you about the touchdown pass to Kelce, because it seemed like on the previous drive you missed two corner routes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I missed two corner routes. One, I let it drift inside a little bit. I'm not making an issue, a little bit with the wind. And then the other one, I let it drift past MVS. And I thought that was going to really hurt us because how their offense was playing. But we were able to get back to it. It was actually different coverage, and they just ended up dropping Travis. And I kind of eyes the guy to the corner to the out route and then gave it to Trav wide open. And so I knew I couldn't miss that one. I threw it right at his face.
We'll go Blair and Bonnie, last two.
Patrick, what does it mean to be in an AFC Championship game for a sixth straight year?
Yeah, I mean, you appreciate it. You really do. I mean, just this run, to be a part of this organization, and to be in the AFC Championship game, I mean, that's what you try to do every single season, why you work in the OTAs, why you work out in the off season, and come to, and grind every single day. And we know it's going to be a great challenge, but our goal is just to get to the Super Bowl, and that's going to take everything we have this next week, because it's a great Ravens team that we're going up against.
Quickly. You good? Right. Last one by.
Hey, Patrick, on your second half opening pass to Marquez, he said there was a whole lot of stuff that you guys couldn't communicate because the guys on defense didn't need your signals. Can you just take us through how you guys did communicate on that play?
Yeah, I think he just knew when I was yelling at him. I was trying to yell at him to let him know, but I didn't want to signal. They got like two ex-Chiefs quarterbacks over there, and I've changed the signals a lot, but I was a little worried that they would have an idea of what we were doing, so I was kind of like mouthing it to him because he couldn't hear me. And luckily, he ran what I wanted him to run and made a heck of a catch on it.
And that play, I mean, what does it speak to about your communication with him and how it's helped you guys get things started?
Yeah, man, I got trust in 11, man. I mean, he comes to work every single day. And even though he's gotten some hate from outside the building, we trust him and love him here, and we know he's going to make big plays whenever his number's called. And he did that today in a big game, and we're going to try to carry that momentum in the next week.
All right, thank you.
Guys, this is their second time going, and a lot of guys knew this was going to be a lot of adversity coming to this game. I think we talked about it early in the week, going in a hostile environment. You know, not a lot of people believed in us, you know. And a lot of people doubted us. And I think more so than ever, we kind of believed in each other. We kind of depended on each other. When things went bad, we didn't point fingers. We depended on each other. You see the offense come down there to the defense. Let's go. You know, offense get close. We tell the offense, let's put it in. And I think that's what this team is about, man. This one heck of a brotherhood. That's something I can say about this team. Relentless. And, you know, we was able to pull it out.
Hey Chris, I heard you hammering home that adversity before the game in the tunnel to the teammates before you guys left. Do you think that was a key for you guys, just to play that chip on the shoulder and all the adversity you've been through?
Put it on my chin. It's okay. No pun intended, though. Pause. Okay. Pause.
Last one, Bobby.
Chris, I think you batted down a ball without even jumping at the end of that first drive.
Sit.
Upright.
They shorted me at the combine. 6'5 3/4" I'm really six. And I'm really six and a half with the cleats on.
So, for timing that up, holding them to a field goal, that's be a pretty big deal in the game. I mean, how did you actually end that play?
Listen, I was in double team. I was the nose, actually. And we had Tershawn Warren at the three tech. And my job was just to push, collapse the pocket. And if he step up, be in position to chase him. So, and I seen the ball coming out, and I was just like, you know, gave it a Shaquille O'Neal swap.
Thank you,
everyone. What is it about not pointing fingers? How you guys, as a team, how do you keep the younger teammates in check?
Because I think everyone take accountability here, and we all understand one play don't make or break a game. It's usually multiple plays to make or break a game, right?
Right.
So if in that game one player drop a ball, it's not just that player fault. Balls are dropped. Pause. Balls are dropped in this league, right? But it's plays prior to that we could have scored on that we didn't score that forced us to be in that moment to have to catch this ball in that particular time. So we kind of understand that as a team. We don't point fingers. We all understand that there's more plays to be made. And that's how we're just so dependent on each other. Y'all have a beautiful night.
This Sunday's matchup is going to answer a lot of questions regarding the Chiefs and the mindset of the team moving forward. Now, we know that this has not been the most ideal season offensively, but we've seen improvement over the last couple of weeks, and I'm still going to count that regular season finale with Blaine Gabbert at quarterback. You saw what Mecole Hardman did out there. I do believe this is a team that is starting to find their way on offense. The defense remains strong. You still have the young players playing well above their heads. You also have the veterans making plays when needed. You know, you talk about the Chris Joneses of the world. You could probably put L'Jarius Sneed now as a veteran, as being one of the best cover corners in the NFL, but still wasn't selected to a Pro Bowl. I'm still puzzled by that. But when you look at the team now and how they seem to have come together, I think you got to give more of a shout out to MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, just the way he bounced back in that game. They needed those two big plays he made really helped keep drives alive and showed his promise for what he is for this team and how much he is trusted by a guy like Patrick Mahomes, even though he's had a pretty subpar season. So you look at this team, they could possibly get Kadarius Toney back. We don't know. We're still waiting to hear back from a couple other guys that are dealing with injuries. Willie Gay is another example of that, was forced out of the game on Sunday. You got Mike Edwards and his situation. Joe Thuney is also dealing with his own injury problems as well. I expect most of those guys to play. But when you go into a game on the road, AFC Championship game, sixth straight AFC Championship game, I must say, and you're not considered the runaway favorite, you're not considered, you know, the team that should just go in there and dominate, because you're going against one of the most dominant teams in the AFC, or just the NFL in general, I should say, in the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens are playing such great football right now. You got the MVP, Lamar Jackson. I'm calling him the MVP. I know it hasn't officially been said yet, but you have a guy like that playing so well. that it does get a little worrisome if you are a Chiefs fan to say you have to deal with these different weapons. He has receivers now. He has the strong defense still. The running game is going to come together. There are different things with this Baltimore team. They're gritty, but they could also play with finesse. They show a nice balance that I don't think past teams really had. It was either they were one way. They were either going to be a heavy run team, or they were going to do like these little passes, pretty much feature the tight end more. You're seeing Lamar becoming more of a complete quarterback, and this team has such a different unity to it. It's not just one-sided defense, and then just the offense put up a couple of points. They seem to have figured it out, and they found that nice balance, and it makes them such an interesting matchup in this game. And everyone's going to talk about Mahomes versus Jackson, the next great quarterback duel. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. They don't really talk about it as much as they should. I say that because, you know, Josh Allen, when they face off, it's a big talk. Aaron Rodgers, etc. But you go against Lamar Jackson, who's also a former MVP, who most likely get his second MVP, which matches Mahomes. He's just missing a Lombardi trophy. So from the Ravens' standpoint, this is a must-win to put Lamar Jackson and his franchise on that level where they see the Chiefs now, and the Chiefs have been for the past six seasons. So this should be a great game. However, I feel like the Chiefs will win this game. I was pretty close with the score last week, but I think I'm going to go with a solid score of 20-14 Chiefs. And the Chiefs will be heading back to the Super Bowl.
Hey, thanks for having me on. So talking goals before this AFC Championship game against Baltimore, you know, I think it'll come down to three key areas. We found out on Wednesday, guard Joe Tooney may or may not be able to go. I mean, he was questionable after leaving last week anyway, but, you know, Adam Schefter put something out this week saying that basically his people say that Tooney more than likely won't go, you know, which would be a huge loss. I mean, Tooney's been just a rock solid, you know, core to that offensive line. So that's huge. So that kind of changes the calculus, I think, from what this conversation may have been earlier in the week. You know, I think if we're choosing three key areas, I think the first one, you know, given this news about Joe Tooney has to be, you know, keeping Mahomes clean in the pocket. Obviously Mahomes can do magical things outside of the pocket too, you know, and that's not something that should be discounted. But, you know, I think that the Chiefs are at their best right now when things are somewhat predictable, right? When the plays play out the way that they are designed, the way that they're practiced, not that they don't practice, you know, off schedule throws or whatever. I mean, you know, this team can kind of do it all, but I think that a lot of the inconsistency that plagued them earlier in the year was maybe a product of, you know, it's just so hard to get those off schedule plays to hit consistently. And I think that they will be well served if Mahomes is able to run the offense the way that it is drawn up rather than having to improvise. And I think that comes down to, you know, offensive line play. The Ravens have a pretty darn good pass rush, you know, and so making sure that Mahomes can operate, you know, as Andy Reid's offense is designed, you know, will make a big difference. Second up, you know, second kind of goal for this game, I think, should be to minimize the amount of damage that Lamar Jackson, you know, does in the ground game. I mean, there's this whole weird narrative that Lamar Jackson can't throw or whatever it is. It's garbage. Lamar Jackson is incredible in the pocket, but I hate to throw a butt in there. He also has that like Tyreek Hill, like almost X Factor type deal where it seems like he is the fastest player on the field no matter who he plays. So, I mean, the Chiefs will need to figure out how to limit Jackson through the air. But geez, like he is so fast and shifty and elusive and has such great vision as a runner. You know, I think that this game could easily be won by Baltimore if Lamar Jackson goes off for 150 yards and two touchdowns. The Chiefs probably aren't winning, and that's a 150 and two touchdowns running, you know, which isn't out of the question. So I think that they're going to have to play some pretty disciplined, you know, contain, spies, whatever. You know, I mean, it's one of these things with these, you know, new age dual threat quarterbacks. I mean, it's kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't, you know, as far as like kind of selling out to either stop them through the air or stop them on the run. I mean, they're going to have to figure out how to, at a bare minimum, bring Lamar Jackson down for minimal gains. I think that's a pretty safe thing to say. You know, I mean, Jackson is just incredible. I mean, there's almost nobody like him. There's almost never, you know, I mean, I guess Michael Vick would be the kind of comparison as far as who he is as a runner, but, you know, I'm not sure that Vick was, I mean, Vick had a crazy arm, but Lamar Jackson can sling it, and he's accurate, and he makes the right reads. He doesn't really turn the ball over that much. I mean, you know, we're not talking about, he's not a turnover machine, you know, so that's going to be incredibly difficult for the Chiefs to kind of compensate for. And then the last goal, I think, would be to get out of this game winning the penalty battle. And I know that that's a kind of easy, you know, pseudo analysis, whatever. But truly, I mean, these are the two top teams in the conference. I mean, I think before the playoffs started, you could make a pretty convincing argument that the Chiefs were not one of the top two teams in the conference. But here we are. You know, I don't think any team wants to face the. There's so much experience there. There's so much like kind of pedigree there. The Chiefs are not a team that anybody wants to face. And to beat the Chiefs, Baltimore is going to have to play an incredibly clean game. You know, and one of the ways that Baltimore could kind of run away with this is if the Chiefs, you know, kind of shoot themselves in the foot, you know, with penalties. You know, there was so much talk about Jawan Taylor earlier in the year. You know, I mean, one of the most penalized players in the league. I think he was the most penalized offensive lineman. And actually, I think he was by quite a wide margin. But either way, you know, I mean, limiting mistakes on offense, you know, false starts, holding, etc. It goes without saying offsides, you know what I mean, on offense. Either way, a little callback to the Kadarius Toney fiasco, but either way. And then you know, I mean, Snead on defense has been so good, but they're again one of the most penalized players in the league. You know, neither of them really got called for much or anything, I don't think, against Buffalo, and that's huge, right? Like, that's a massive advantage when your best players can play a clean game and not give opponents any kind of, you know, self-inflicted advantage. So, yeah, I mean, I think to kind of wrap her up here, I think you got to keep Mahomes clean in the pocket. You got to stop Lamar Jackson from dominating this game on the ground, and you know, you got to not beat yourself. So, really looking forward to this one. I mean, I think this will easily be the best. Best is a kind of bad word, but the most difficult matchup for the Chiefs of the season, obviously, in the AFC Championship. And, you know, I think it'll be a heck of a game to watch. So looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on, Ed, and we'll talk to you soon.
I want to take the time to thank everybody for tuning in to today's episode. Please follow us on X at The Chiefs Wire for your latest updates on news and everything going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm Ed Easton Jr. Until next time.